Welcome to the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast.
Hi, I'm David Manti, and welcome to a new episode of the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast. With me today is Charles Pyfrom, CMO with CanGen Insurance Services. How are you doing today, Charles?
Doing great, David. Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for coming. Before we get started, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. You could also help us out a lot by leaving the podcast a positive review on whatever platform you use. Finally, if you want to reach the podcast, you can email me at david@cannabisequipmentnews.com. All right, Charles, let's get into it. I want to start out by asking how you got involved in the cannabis industry.
You know, that's a great question. Like most people, we somewhat trip into the industry. We're an ancillary service provider and vendor focused on insurance services in the space that's dedicated to the CBD, hemp, cannabis world, making sure what we're offering is best in class for those operators. And I ended up tripping into it with a really good close friend of mine who was a broker in the space. They said, hey, we think there's an opportunity here. And this was about 7 years ago. And we said, no problem. We're going to be in a position to where we can actually make it work and bring value and underwrite risks that make sense for the buyers and the carriers that we represent. So by accident, but for the last 7 years, on fire, and we love it. So
over the past 7 years, how has the cannabis industry evolved, and how have you had to change your business to kind of keep up?
You know, that's a great question. The cannabis industry, and I've spent 15 years of commercial insurance before I joined up with CanGen to lead their carrier underwriting and broker relations departments. As far as I'm concerned, this industry is so innovative and cutting edge and drives value for the not only buyers, but also the operators in the space who really want to, you know, perpetuate change in what's been, you know, federally illegal industry, right? And so coming along, how do we find things that make sense from a underwriting standpoint that are great, but seeing what the other states have done that where we can add value and where the states can learn from what others have done well and how they can help perpetuate change that make it beneficial for those buyers who are looking for legal product in accessible markets on a national basis.
So when I think of insurance, it kind of makes me think of banking, and I think of how difficult banking has been in the industry. Has it had similar issues or problems with insurance as well?
You know, that's a really great question and spot on, because right in the industry, you look at the financial services as a whole, very controlled, very regulated, very much heavily with governmental oversight. And yes, insurance certainly had been a challenge before CanGen came in and I think put together a really good solution for operators in the space back in 2015. So as it relates to what we've done, how do we help move things ahead? It's about educating our trading partners, whether that's carriers, reinsurance, brokers, about how we can offer cannabis-focused coverage solutions at price points to where the buyer's engaged and wants to buy something that says, risk transfer's part of my business, I need to have it for my license. And we can actually cover the opportunities that exist in their overall business ventures, just so like we would for other industries, whether it's trucking, artisan contractors, grocery stores, things that are very homogenous and straightforward in today's, you know, business economy.
So I want to get into a little bit more about how cannabis companies can benefit from some of these insurance services. But one of the things I was also interested in is talking about supply chain problems that have hit cannabis. How have you seen that impact some of your clients? And, you know, have your services in particular helped people along the way as a result?
Totally. And look, you know, we work in a global economy. A lot of our ancillary service providers of the cannabis industry are either vape pen manufacturers or battery manufacturers that we insure and provide the appropriate levels of coverage for. But yeah, certainly the supply chain issues of being able to source components, whether that's the actual batteries themselves, whether that's a shipping issue, whether my stuff's delayed in a port, any of those variables that really make it challenging for our operators to work with, we try to be understanding and accommodating with, given the last 2.5 years of kind of blah of what's happened out there in the world of how do we address and every day is a new day sort of mentality. But we certainly, I think, have found that the best in class operators and folks have found a way, just like in other parts of the industry, cannabis operators tend to thrive. They find opportunities where, you know, they make their own path and they don't need to follow what other people have done to be successful. And it's honestly, it's fun, it's entrepreneurial, and we're happy to support those people's journeys.
What are some of the potential liabilities that cannabis operators face?
You know, super great question. If I'm a retailer, we have the standard types of trip and falls, people coming into a store and getting information that's not accurate, or just being mindful of how, you know, the operations from a general liability perspective work as it relates to hazards, slander, libel, et cetera. That's standard coverage under the insurance policy. But also you want to talk about other issues as it relates to the supply chain. If I'm looking at a product's liability policy, I want to make sure that the people who are using a vape pen, for example, have it done with a battery manufacturer that is above board, transparent, has good quality controls in place, to where, unfortunately, you know, we've seen in the past where Vapegate happened and people said, oh, I'm having an opportunity to have a vape pen, or having, we see pictures of people whose batteries blow up in their pockets. That's not what we want to ensure. That's not, I think, what the cannabis industry is about at the end of the day. They want to have great products with a great experience for the buyers who want to come in and really kind of either tiptoe into the industry, or have been legacy users who want to be above board and say, this is something for me and I use cannabis for XYZ reason, which is totally acceptable in today's culture.
Do cannabis operators have trouble working within the traditional insurance industry? Is CanGen one of the only solutions out there for them?
Super good question. And the answer is yes. And that's why when we formed CanGen back in 2015, our roots actually go back to 2010, when we were just a small little retail establishment who saw a niche in California. And we grew over time to be the largest underwriter of cannabis risks, CBD risks, hemp risks in the U.S. and through our sister company, Next Wave Insurance Canada. So where we cover North America on a global platform for insurance policies that add value for our clientele. And we have significant operators in both countries. And we continue to expand our overall portfolio of products we offer, to where when people come to CanGen, we have a great reputation for great underwriting, quick process, turnaround, service responsiveness, all that fun stuff that matters when, in all fairness, I'm trying to grow my business as quickly as I can. I don't want insurance to be an impediment or slow me down. So for that point, we built this underwriting facility. We call it a managing general underwriter, and we underwrite on behalf of insurance carriers on a nationwide basis, and we act as if we are them. So when they come to us, we know we're underwriting cannabis risks, which for the household operators out there who are used to maybe going to a Travelers or a Hartford or CNA, large scale commercial insurers, they don't want to write cannabis because it's federally illegal and it's not for them. Meanwhile, our team of nearly 100 insurance professionals have built a great brand, a great reputation, and a great product offering that we think meets the needs of today's buyers.
Talking about meeting the needs of today's buyers, I wanted to kind of go through specific types of people in the cannabis industry and see how specifically they could adapt or things that you can do to help out. I wanted to start with the equipment manufacturers, because that's at the heart of the cannabis equipment news readership. So how can equipment manufacturers think to protect themselves from the insurance side?
Totally. You know, equipment manufacturers are part of a huge material shift in how people consume cannabis, right? If we're looking at extraction companies or distillation companies or people who manufacture that huge CapEx expenditure for these operators to get up and running, we want to make sure that they're doing it in a way that makes sense, not only from an underwriting standpoint, i.e. you have good quality controls in place, there's certified manufacturing testing to make sure it's good and above board and it works, but also that consistency of experience. No one wants to spend $1 million on equipment and have it start failing 2 weeks into installation, right? So I think being able to provide something that we bought from a reputable manufacturer who has the support needed to make sure not only our team knows how to use it right, but we can do it in a safe and effective manner so we can qualify for insurance. And just because we're a CO2 based extraction company, why should we be precluded from having insurance? So we ask a few more questions for those types of operations. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure our best-in-class product offering is available to anyone who is a legally licensed plant-touching entity.
As you're asking those questions, how often are you helping a potential client maybe change the way they were planning on doing business?
You know, we work with a handful of independent retail and wholesale brokers that we've chosen who qualify for what we think is a fantastic solution for our buyers out there. We help give them the education. And for the right client, we'll help directly get involved with the end user and insured as it relates to what they can do to make sure they not only qualify for their insurance, but if there's a claim, everyone's on board and transparent, meeting of the minds about what's covered and what's not. So there's no surprises, because no one likes a bad claims experience. And we want to make sure that when we underwrite our risks, we're working with those folks who not only get it, are willing to understand the components of what they have to do, but also we can give advice to make sure it's a great experience should the worst sort of experience, which ultimately is having to file a big insurance claim, does happen. But we're here to protect that.
You were talking about some new products that you're looking at launching soon. What are some of the things that you're looking at in terms of new coverages?
You know, that's a super great question. I appreciate you leading in with that. We're looking at adding what's known as errors and omissions coverage, which for professional operations, testing labs, manufacturing advisory firms, and those who are actually assembling, crafting, designing the next level of cultivation tools, techniques, and machinery, we can actually make sure that when we say we give you a policy that says not only do we cover the damages to the product, but also the design, the implementation thereof, that we're offering something that merits the rest of our portfolio of products that are already coverage focused and priced appropriately. So E&O is a big deal, and the industry's been asked for a while, and we plan to roll that out sometime in the summer. But we're also rolling out bigger operations to where we can ensure and work alongside our clientele. As they grow, we are there to help support and scale their growth from an insurance standpoint. And unfortunately, a lot of the operators we compete against in our space, they're great starter markets, and you can graduate in the can gen.
Okay. We talked about equipment manufacturers. When you talk about cultivators, does it extend to things like, when I think of traditional insurance for farmers, I think of like crop protection and stuff like that. How else do you serve to protect cultivators?
Yeah, that's a super great question. A lot of our cultivators will ultimately choose to grow indoor for two reasons. One, better controls and an environment in which they can produce their craft product that they're happy with. But also, I think it allows them the actual controls that we need from underwriters to look at a risk and say, it's fine, it's not exposed to the elements, there's nothing outside of our control. We can price for it, we can plan for it, and we can ultimately make sure our carriers are there to pay when a claim ensues, which really does happen, right? We're here to help protect, serve, and grow with this industry as a great service provider. So when I look at a cultivator, we ask a few extra questions. What are your lights? Are you using LED or halogens? Are you using opportunities to where you guys have a quality control plan in place to change them every so often and you check them every so often? Because at the end of the day, if we have a cultivator who loses their entire crop, that's their livelihood, right? Mm-hmm. We ensure their livelihood. And we take that promise very seriously. We want to make sure that when we offer a policy, everyone's clear, they understand what they have to do, and what we have offered to make sure on behalf of our carrier partners that they plan to pay should the unforeseeable, you know, worst case scenario happen, right? We've had scenarios where people have a ballast burst or mm-hmm. have a grow light go down, causes a fire, and there's either smoke damage, fire damage, or the worst case is when someone comes in and starts robbing our cultivation facilities, which really does happen, right? So we expect people to keep stuff in safes or vaults. Do your part as a buyer and an operator to mitigate your loss. But you know what? Push comes to shove. We want to make sure there's that opportunity. If it's a bad thing that happens to you, insurance is there for the stuff that you don't plan for, that in your business plan doesn't, in all fairness, entertain on a regular basis.
Is it more difficult to cover outdoor cultivators?
You know, that's honestly, I keep saying that's a really good question, but you're hitting on all points. Outside cultivation is challenging for two reasons. One, the elements. Two, most people are used to what's known as FCIP, Federal Crop Insurance Protections. And for obvious reasons, that plan is not available for cannabis cultivation. So the price point in which carriers have a risk appetite to say for XYZ coverage, I'm willing to take XYZ premium. A lot of the outdoor cultivation is just not worth it, not only for buyers, in all fairness, but also for risk bearers, in all fairness, recognizing we play a middleman between making sure the buyers know what they can afford and what they can entertain, and ultimately the risk bearers know what they can absorb on their balance sheet. It's not, in my mind, personally opinion, it's not something where a lot of people will jump at the opportunity to insure their outdoor crop. There's other means to protect it, whether it's better controls, whether we have 24/7 people on the property watching it, whether we have some limitation of either sunlight exposure to the elements, et cetera, that makes sense to where they can grow that outdoor craft quality cannabis that the buyers in their territory are looking for, which is great. And that's phenomenal. And we'll ensure all lines of that operation, except for the living plant component that's outdoors, because there's too many variables that's really outside of underwriting control that make it to where our carriers wouldn't want to support it and our buyers wouldn't be interested in spending their money on it.
You talked about things that some of these owners don't necessarily plan for, but a lot of these companies are startups or people that don't necessarily have a traditional business acumen. How do you reach them and let them know about the insurance products that are available? And is it something that many people don't even go looking for until there's an issue that could have potentially been covered?
Yep. And ultimately, we work with insurance brokers. So our clients are other insurance professionals. We understand the nuances of what insurance is. Okay. We convey what our product offering is to those brokers who work with us. And we also explain what the nuances of what their unique industry perils should be. Hey, if I'm a cultivator, should I be concerned about fire? Most definitely. If I'm a dispensary or a retail establishment, should I be concerned about smash and grabs? 100%. And so we offer that advice of here's what we can offer. Here's a price point in which I think it makes sense for us. And a lot of our you know market share would say does make sense. But when we look at where we can provide value, it's really about being great advisors, especially those who haven't asked the right questions. So to any operators who are listening, please work with an insurance broker who does other insurance business. They should not be your first client. They should understand the nuances that make cannabis unique from a risk profiling perspective and help you find solutions that make sense for your P&L and bottom line.
We talked about equipment manufacturers and cultivators. What about processors and people doing extraction? Because when I think of some of the larger incidents that have occurred in the industry from a safety perspective, it has been, you know, with extraction equipment that has been misused or improperly installed.
Yeah. And that's why it boils down to honestly, the KYC approach, know your customer. And if I'm an operator, I'm the one to make sure that when I'm buying the extraction equipment, I'm buying it from someone who has a track record of success. They have a track record of standing by their product. And if there's an issue, they will come out and make sure they fix it and resolve it before the worst case disaster happens, which is something blows up and there's unfortunately either damage to property, damage to people, loss of income, business shuts down, people lose their jobs. It's really, really bad and unfortunate. And we try to ensure to the worst case scenario to make sure that we can help support these businesses during what will be a unfortunate time in their operational efficiency, but also know who you're buying from. There's lots of people out in this industry that have been doing it for a really long time, and they probably have a good solution that works for majority of operators out there.
Finally, talking about manufacturers, you talked about vape cartridge manufacturers being in your portfolio. How about customers that are also in edibles and beverages and ancillary products like that?
All that's qualified for us for all of our lines of coverage. It's absolutely something we understand the cannabis industry is evolving with. You know, edibles are a material part of how people consume. Vape pens, material part of how people consume. And beverages are certainly the up and coming topic of how people can enjoy a little bit of the THC or CBD at their leisure in a setting that's not only comfortable from a social standpoint, but also allows them to operate and say, hey, this is what makes me happy. And if I don't want to have, you know, bourbon on the rocks, maybe I can have a bottle of can. And that works out fine. And we look to help support those operators with real insurance solutions that make sense for their business.
Of the product categories currently available on the market, what would you determine to be the most risky?
You know, that's a hard question. Here's why. Because depending on what I'm doing, I would have a different answer. So from a risk standpoint, if I'm a retailer, my biggest risk is theft. And how do I mitigate that? If I'm a cultivator, my biggest risk is fire. And how do I mitigate that? And if I'm a manufacturer, it's, you know, working in a explosion-proof room that mitigates the potential of what could take place. But also, we insure workers' compensation, and we do a great product with a specific carrier partner that has a risk appetite for that line of coverage. A lot of that's repetitive injury, work to return to work program, you know, the repetitive motion of hand trimming crafted cannabis that makes sense for folks that people have a high propensity for absorbing, but also they have a demand for it, right? There's that mass produced cannabis that people like. There's also that craft cannabis that people are willing to pay a premium dollar for. And that requires not machines, that's people. That's people who have a passion for their craft, a passion for the industry, and that level of specificity and you know ultimately the end product that consumers buy, that's worthwhile. And we find that our best operators who engage across all of our portfolio products understand it from a comprehensive 30,000 foot view versus I had an issue, I'm now reacting to an issue. It's a proactive risk management approach that allows them to run their business with insurance being a true partner in their overall success.
When I think of starting up a business, I think of, and we talked about banking a little bit already, but a lot of times it's the bankers or the financiers who are helping steer you in terms of the appropriate coverages that you need in order to protect your business because you're also protecting their investment. Are the same controls available in the cannabis industry, or is it something that depending on where you find financing, it might be overlooked?
You know, that's probably a two-pronged answer. There's a lot of great people have relationships in banking who also have great relationships in insurance brokers and placement metrics to where it matters, making sure they're aligned with the right folks. Having a great bank that will understand that you are a cannabis business and will help you understand and take your cash deposits and work with you on filing the appropriate reports and not shut you down because, hey, surprise, I'm a cannabis business. That stuff needs to end. It's really challenging for the operators who are very much trying to be above board and transparent to find those third-party vendors like banking, like insurance, who understand their business and understand their pain points and help find solutions that add value for them as a firm. So I would say along those lines, yes, find a good bank who you can be transparent and honest with. But also on the insurance side, find a good broker who you can be honest with and transparent with and tell them, here's what I'm doing. Is this good or bad? And you know what? The good ones will tell you, stop doing this, you're never going to qualify. Or absolutely, that's best in class, and I applaud you for being ahead of the curve. And it's really finding those folks across the board who can help you in these other areas of the industry that if I wasn't a cannabis operator, wouldn't necessarily be that big of a challenge.
I talk to a lot of people in the industry, and it seems like everyone has a story of when they were shut down or locked out of their bank. Has that ever happened to you being on the insurance side of things?
We've had an open, transparent relationship with our bank for a long period of time. And keep in mind, we're also an ancillary service provider. We take business from insurance professionals. We take business from other folks in lots of different industries. So by the time we get paid for the services that we offer and render, we're getting money from people who have had one, two, or three bank accounts down the line, depending on the transaction. So from where we're concerned, no, we haven't had it. But also, we're very transparent about what we do and that this is our industry that we focus on as a vertical.
How many different brokers do you work with?
We work with, give or take, depending on how you want to qualify them, we work with retail and wholesale brokers. In the US, we probably earn 1,500 to 2,000, and in Canada, several hundred. But we also work with those who really get it. We're not a take-all-comer sort of market. The ones we operate understand what our value proposition is, and that's real coverage, appropriate pricing, best-in-class product offering. So,
in what parts of the nation, of the US, is there still a hole or a gap that where you could possibly use more brokers? I mean, I imagine that when a larger market like New York comes online, you know, there's plenty of opportunity there, but maybe with some of the smaller states, there's not as much opportunity.
Right in line. Honestly, it boils down to who the relationships kind of foster up to from an insurance broker to buyer standpoint. In our industry, there's so much M&A happening in cannabis that even new markets are involving operators who have existing relationships. So I may be a broker in New York, but I may have business in California, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, across the board, based on where my relationships matter. And that's honestly the core of who the cannabis culture supports is a great industry that believes in elevating, raising the bar, making it better, and making it more mainstream. And we're trying to help support that. So when I look at like New Jersey, who's rolling out licenses soon, New Mexico, who just went live on 4-1 for recreational purposes, we have existing broker relationships there that add value and are already well established in the community because cannabis is done locally for the most part. And on a broader national viewpoint, wherever there's legalized businesses that exist, either in cannabis, CBD, or hemp, we have brokers out there who know the business and can help operators find really, really great insurance coverage.
When it comes to breaking up between cannabis, CBD, and hemp, is one, in your opinion, riskier to operate in than the other right now?
I would say cannabis is riskier to operate for only for one main reason, is that no one ever steals a whole bunch of dried hemp products. It just doesn't happen. So from a theft standpoint, if I'm an operator, the value of hemp that's been sitting outside that's going to be ready to be made into CBD oil, it's not a theft hazard. It's not as bad. We don't have the same level of controls we expect from an underwriting standpoint to make it beneficial for the buyer and our carriers that we work with to keep supporting the growth of the industry. So when I look at something like cannabis, I would say, yes, cannabis gets the headline news, but CBD and hemp are not far behind. In all fairness, might overtake cannabis in terms of where their scale and scope and size of opportunities exist in the foreseeable future.
How do you see them overtaking cannabis?
You know what? I saw an interesting story not too long ago, and it was from Whole Foods. Someone published something about the expectation of the top 10 products Whole Foods would sell. And it was 1 in 10 of those was going to be a CBD product. And they forecasted 3 of 10 to be a CBD product by 2025, something like that. Don't quote me on the exact verbiage. But like the fact that Whole Foods, owned by Amazon, such a mainstream company, is thinking 3 of their top 10 products will be CBD based, that's the supporting narrative of a broader scale. where I think that the CBD medicinal benefits will help overshadow potentially, right, wrong, indifferent, of where people choose to consume cannabis for the same reasons or for own personal uses.
How about when it comes to synthetic THC, either synthetic products or also products like Delta 8?
So Delta 8 is challenging. Some states say yes, some states say no, some states are very gray and it's open to interpretation. We underwrite some risks with Delta 8 on a case-by-case basis. It's not directly in, it's not directly out of our portfolio of products, but we also, you know, uniquely look at the nuances of an individual risk. Where are they operating? Because the last thing we want to do is be insuring something that's quote unquote illegal, right? By what a state says. So we're above board. We're transparent with our trading partners. We tell our operators, hey, here's what we would entertain for a risk. But you know what? Maybe you stop selling that 2% of your sales as Delta 8 because in California, you can't do it or whatever it happens to be, right? Using that as an example. Synthetics for the same reason. It's a little more challenging, especially when you look at product liability and what the long-term effects are of synthetic cannabinoids, how it affects the endocrine system, how it affects the body, how it affects mind, wellness, all that fun stuff. Insurance is about numbers, figuring out what the unknowns are, pricing accordingly. And in all fairness, there's a lot of unknowns around that, that we choose to write profitably for our carrier partners and the folks that we want to work with, but also making sure that the product is there and we're not I'm here one week, I'm not the next. That's not good for anyone. Disruption and chaos is not good for pricing for buyers. And that's who we work for every day, right? We want to make sure what we're doing is great, is value add, and hopefully makes their business sustainable for the long term.
You talk about how you don't want chaos. Do you think it'll be a little bit calmer waters if and when things go federally legal?
I think it will be a little bit calmer waters, but also keep in mind, like for our industry, insurance specific, we don't move very quick. That's not a historical nature of what insurance as a general placement has been. Mm-hmm. So even if it takes 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months for someone to say, oh, it's federally legal now, the biggest insurers in the country who don't touch cannabis, they might still say, you know what, the risk reward is not there. It's not big enough for us to entertain. And that's where a specialty underwriting facility like CanGen really can continue to add value even in a post-federal legalization standpoint.
Okay. Is that something where, do you believe CanGen will always operate independently, or is it something where you think once things opened up, there might be potential movement in terms of like a merger acquisition?
Hard to say. We're always on the lookout, and we have a fantastic partner of carriers on our panel, not only on a risk-bearing, but also on a reinsurance basis. But look, this is what we do. We've been doing it for a decade strong in one way, shape, or form. We're the market leader for a reason. And we happily will entertain, you know, the broader discussions of supporting the growth of the industry in our role that we recognize and take very seriously.
What are the top or most common claims that you see from cannabis customers?
It's theft, it's fire. And for our distribution and delivery, it's traditional commercial auto exposures. I rear-ended because I wasn't paying attention. Someone hit me because they weren't paying attention. And we see a handful of stuff across the board. For workers' comp, it's repetitive injuries or one-off freak accidents. But from the standpoint of really what is people should be concerned about, fire, theft, risk mitigation, and appropriate levels of training for their operators to understand, hey, this is a safety hazard. Be mindful of that. Don't have to use the eyewash station down the road because you blew up an extraction facility. Learn how to use it. Understand the nuances around it. Be mindful that it's serious. And you know what? That's what carriers are around to do, is support the inevitable, which does happen, but is often very preventable with the right protocols in place.
What are your expectations for federal legalization?
When you think about it? Crystal ball? I mean, you know, we talk about safe banking or the Claims Act or any of those other components that seem to get traction, no traction. Get traction, no traction. I'm approaching midterm elections. We talk about it. I'm not, we don't. So it's hard to say. Look, at some point, this will go federally legal. I'm very confident of that. We got so many states, the vast majority, the train's left the station on what the states want to say. And at some point, federal legalization will come around. Your guess is as good as mine over when the right political environment allows for that to take place.
From an insurance perspective, what are some of the things that the insurance agent industry could be doing better when it comes to cannabis?
You know, I think a lot of the KYC approach of know your customer, our best brokers and our most successful transactions and relationships for the last decade are around folks who really specialize in this. So again, for anyone who's listening, who's like, I'm a buyer, I have this business, I'm in a space, I have concerns over why XYZ policy, is it covering my needs? Working with a broker who really gets it and does more than one or two cannabis deals a year, it's really important, because unlike other industries that are more stagnant, manufacturing, contracting, it doesn't change over, you know, really over time. Cannabis is one of those industries that continues to evolve at a pace that, in all fairness, probably outperforms other industries as it relates to needs, changes, exposures, what happens on a year-over-year basis, where our average client on a year-over-year basis doubles in revenue and triples in size. That's a great story to tell, but it's also, are you doing it at scale? Are you doing it in a way that's sustainable? Or are you just trying to put out whatever the first fire is that shows up on your desk, right? So working with someone who gets it helps understand the nature of what's out there, right? And we have our competition out there, looking at what's out there and finding what's best for the buyer on any given annual renewal cycle is really what's most important. But finding a provider who gets your business, I think, is really the message I'd like to convey to your audience about why it matters. Because if you deal with a guy who does, you know, traditional home and auto insurance all day, and your buddies, and you see him at, you know, dad's softball on Friday, maybe that's not the right guy. And I'm not saying he's the wrong guy, but I'm saying you should have questions, because cannabis is not a commodity at this point. It's very specialized. It's very niche oriented. And we want to make sure that the people we work with understand where we fit in a transaction and what our folks can expect from us should the worst take place.
I mean, I could see that happening a lot in this industry. It's definitely a very collaborative industry where everybody is very trusting. But I mean, you're right. You gotta vet people, make sure that you're working with the right person.
For sure. And absolutely. I mean, the right person is asking for questions, and it's okay. We work with brokers all the time who say, look, I'm just getting into this. Can you help us train? Can you help us educate our buyers? The answer is yes. And that's what you should look for from someone like a CanGen, to help get the education out there, because no one wants a bad claims experience. At the end of the day, we underwrite a promise to pay should something bad happen. That's all people care about. And we take that very seriously. And our carriers understand that. And so when we do it, we put out, I think, like I said, great terms, fair pricing for risk transfer, and coverage that buyers can count on.
Do you have a personal connection to the cannabis industry?
I don't. Someone asked me that just last week, and they're like, how come you don't participate in it? For me, I've never tried. I'm one of those people where I see this as a huge burgeoning opportunity. I haven't yet. I haven't had the right opportunity. I'm sure at some point I'll come around. But for right now, no personal connection aside from having friends who've owned businesses and have been done wrong by other insurance professionals in the space. So it's kind of personal from that level, but no personal connection for me as an individual.
I mean, I feel like that's personal enough. If you see a friend get wronged, I mean, that's any reason to jump in the game.
The reason enough, and trying to help educate and make sure that story doesn't, manipulate itself over and over, right? We want to make sure that we're doing a good service as a vendor to the industry, and we're around for the long term.
Before we get out of here, is there anything else that you want to add or make sure that the Cannabis Equipment News audience knows about CanGen?
You know what? I appreciate the opportunity. Look, I can tell you, 30,000 foot elevator pitch, we're the largest writers for a reason. We have the best in class distribution facilities, and we have coverage that really matters to the business. We understand what you guys go through day in, day out, because that's all our team does. 100% of the risks we look at every single day, which are tens of thousands in nature on a yearly basis, involve cannabis, CBD, or hemp. So you may have a question, work with a broker who knows your business. Know that when you get a quote from CanGen, you're getting someone from who knows your business, and we appreciate the trust you put in us. So I appreciate the opportunity to have that with you today, David.
Yeah, Charles, thank you very much for joining me today, man. I really do appreciate it.
It's been fun. Thanks, man.
All right. Before we get out of here, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. You could also help us out a lot by leaving the podcast a positive review on whatever platform you use. Finally, if you want to email the podcast, you can reach me at david@cannabisequipmentnews.com. All right. For Charles Pyfrom, I'm David Manti. This is the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Cannabis Equipment News Podcast.